Let's go ahead and get into it. Go back to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to kind of pick up where we left off dealing with this. I really want us to catch this. Excuse me. I really want us to absorb this, because if we can understand this, I believe we can go to a new level in our personal experience with the Lord and in the ministries that we are part of. I believe so many things hinge on understanding restraining orders and understanding the principle of authority and restraining order, because you cannot separate the two, okay? Now, basically in Genesis 2 is where we read last week in verses 8 and 9. It says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. He put the man. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. He put all kinds of trees in there that were excellent. He says the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's kind of where we're looking at and basing this on, where it all begins is in Genesis. Okay, authority in the kingdom, we talked about, requires a restraining principle. Any authority in the kingdom, any authority in the body of Christ requires a restraining principle. It's the way God established it. Authority cannot exist without a restraining order. How many of you know that? If there's an authority, then there are restraining orders that come with that authority or the reason for that authority. Okay? Any authority in existence, you look at it, any authority in existence, governments, whatever, they impose or has at its disposal guidelines, principles, rules, laws, decrees, whatever you want to call them, but that authority has and imposes these so that the person in authority is meant to exercise them on behalf of others. So you have an authority that is in authority, under authority, in authority, and that person in authority has these rules, laws, decrees, whatever, in their possession or within their realm of authority, so they might exercise their authority through those restraining orders for the benefit of other people, for other people to benefit from them and be blessed by them. And so that's how God has established it. Police officers, we talked about a little bit, but they have the authority, or they have authority because of the laws that are on the books, right? An officer is patrolling. An officer is walking the streets. An officer is out there because of the laws that are on the books. And so that's that they are in authority, and that's what's at their disposal. In other words, if there were no laws, there would be no need for police officers, right? If there were no laws, there would be no need for anyone to try to restrain anybody, because there would be no restraining orders to impose. There would be no orders to limit our activity or to impose restraints on us so that we can live a proper life. And how many of you know the Word of God gives us restraining orders? How many of you want to live a proper life before the Lord? Do you want to live a life that's in alignment with God for His blessings to be poured out on your life? Because God can only bless what's in alignment with Him, right? God does not bless whatever is out of alignment with Him or His Word. If you walk contrary to His Word, He cannot bless what's not in alignment with Him. So what were we talking about? We're talking about the restraining orders. When we come into alignment with His Word that gives us restraint on how to live, not, you know, we take liberty for granted. We take liberty to an excess. And we use it for our own purposes and for our own selfish lifestyles, and God does not bless that. And so He puts us under authority by imposing what we could call restraining orders throughout the Word of God, that tells us how to live and how not to live. How many of you know the Bible tells you how not to live? Not just how to live, but how not to live. Those are the restraining orders. God is saying, I want to bless you, but you've got to live within my boundaries. How many of you know children have to live within their parents' boundaries if they're going to be blessed by their children? If they want that ice cream at the end of the day, before they go to bed at night, they better get their homework done. Right? There's a restraining order. Get your work done. or you won't be blessed. I cannot bless you. I cannot release the blessing of ice cream to you unless you follow and obey the restraining orders by getting your work done. I know you want to go out and play. I know you want to watch TV. I know you want to get on the computer. I know you want to play your games. But the restraint is get your work done so that I can bless you. That's the way it is in homes. And that's the way it ought to be in life for us, okay? So no laws, no need for authority. And the people who live in the any jurisdiction of those policemen, like we have policemen here that take care of us here in Safford, So the people who live within that jurisdiction are under the authority of those police officers. How many of you know you're under their authority? How many of you know you're under authority even when you don't see them? I was driving into town, coming into town from home. It was already dark. My lights were on. I was driving the speed limit. How about that? I drive the speed limit. My daughter will attest to that. But driving down, heading north on 191, there is a patrolman, a state trooper, parked on the side of the road with no lights on. But he's parked there watching to see if everybody is obeying the restraining order. What's the restraining order he's checking on? The speed limit. Everybody say limit. The very word limit tells you that there is a restraining order. And he's there to impose his authority within that element of the restraining order. So you can drive up to how many miles an hour on the highway coming in? 55, right? 55, okay? So as long as you're driving 55 or under, you're within the restraining order. He won't turn his lights on, right? We won't ask how many people have seen those lights flash. But that's the way it is, okay? You see, well, let me just ask you, how many of you slow down whenever you see an officer? Anybody? I mean, you could be going the speed limit, whatever, but as soon as you see an officer, your first instinct is to kind of hit the brake a little bit just to make sure. Right? And then you look down, like he said, you look down and you check your speedometer to make sure you're within the boundaries of that restraining order, that limitation that has been imposed on us. But see, it's a reaction to us because we know that officer, whoever's in that police car that we have seen, has the authority to impose upon us a restraint if we are disobeying that law. It's important for us to understand the spiritual aspect of that if we can understand the natural of it, okay? And so let me just go on from there, okay? Here's another aspect of illegal authority. Witches. People who dabble in the occult. People who dabble in witchcraft, okay? That is an illegal authority, okay? So what's happening here is, witches are people who exercise power without proper authority. They want to exercise power over other people's lives by incantations and by the things that they do. Just like the Satanist that I dealt with when I was first saved, and he told me he could read my palm if I wanted to, and he could do the tarot cards in front of me and tell me my life, and he could do all these kind of things because he had this demonic capability, power. The problem is it did not have proper authority. It was an illegitimate authority, and I wouldn't let him do that. I wouldn't let him read my palm, and I wouldn't let him get out the tarot cards, and I wouldn't let him get all his incantations that he had on his walls in his bedroom to do any of that in front of me or to me, because that was an illegal authority. Don't ever release yourself into or submit yourself to an illegal authority. Don't ever do that, because it's illegal, God does not honor it, and it's demonic. But that's what witches do, okay? Anytime power is exercised outside of authority, proper authority, not while under authority, is illegitimate, it's illegal authority. If somebody tries to be an authority in your life, but they have not been given authority to be authority in your life, it's an illegitimate authority. So you have to know that you're under the proper authorities. You have to know, these are my lines of authority, and this is what I'm under, and I will not submit to another that I am not under that authority properly. And so you have to know what authorities that you're really under, or you could get yourself in a lot of trouble, okay? Let me give you an example of illegal authority, the rioters around the country that were exercising their power. They were exercising their power to break in, to loot. They were exercising their power by mass gatherings to not just loot, but to set buildings on fire, to set vehicles on fire, to bring destruction, okay? They were doing all these things, but it was an illegal power. Their power to do that was illegitimate. It was illegal, and it deserves to be punished by proper authority. Does that make sense? They exercised a power that they had no authority to exercise it under. They were not under authority to do it within the proper boundaries. So what they were doing was illegal. What they were doing was against the law, against the restraining orders that government had imposed for the welfare of the people, and that deserves punishment. In reality, they're in opposition to true authority that's beyond the police and beyond the legislators who pass the laws and beyond the courts who enforce the penalties of breaking laws. It goes even beyond that. And this is something we need to understand about authority and breaking authority or coming out from under authority or walking in illegal authority. When we walk in power without authority, we need to understand that there is a true authority beyond all these, okay? Because what's happening is people like this are in opposition to the one who is the source of all power and authority. So let me put it this way. Those who were creating anarchy up in the Pacific Northwest and other parts of our country, those who were breaking in and those who were looting and those who were destroying businesses and those who were setting businesses on fire and setting cars on fire and all those things, yes, they were in opposition to the natural authority, to the officers that were supposed to maintain authority. They were in opposition to the rules, to the restraining orders, which were the laws of the land, that they were not supposed to do that, that it's illegal. But they were also in opposition to the one who is the source of all power and authority, and that's God. What they do not realize is that they were in opposition to God himself. And anytime we step out from under proper authority, we step out from under God's authority, because God is a God of authority, God delegates authority, and God is a God of authority for us to walk in authority. And anytime we step out from under that authority, we walk in opposition to God. Okay? Let me give you an example. Go to Psalm 51. We're familiar with this psalm. This is the Psalm of David's penitence. This is a Psalm of David's repentance after he sinned with Bathsheba. And we know that was a grievous sin. He was king, and he fell into adultery. But look at these first four verses. Psalm 51, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." He says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." He's acknowledging his sin, but listen to what he says in verse 4. He says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." In verse 4, he says, "You and you only, God, have I sinned against." Now think about that. He recognized that God is the ultimate authority, and any authority on earth is subject to the authority of heaven. And he had to acknowledge that his sin was directly against the one who is the source of all authority. Now, how many people did he sin against? How many people did he sin against when he sinned with Bathsheba? Well, first of all, he sinned against Bathsheba because he took her. He was supposed to be out leading the army, but he decided to stay home and take a vacation. When he's supposed to be leading the armies and he's out on his balcony and he sees Bathsheba bathing and he calls her to himself, so he sinned against Bathsheba, right? Who else did he sin against? He sinned against Uriah, her husband. Her husband was out doing the battling. He was out there being obedient to his authority, and David was coming out from his authority under God, and he lusted after Bathsheba. So not only did he sin against Bathsheba, now he sinned against Uriah. Who else did he sin against? He also sinned against the military, because he got the military involved to get Uriah killed. He called his chief officer and said, when you go out into battle, you take Uriah into the heat of the battle, and then you give a signal and withdraw from him so that he will be killed. Now he sinned against the army, his military, because he got them involved in his sin as a cover-up. Who else did he sin against? He also sinned against Bathsheba's family. He also sinned against his wife, Michael. He was married to Michael. And so he sinned against his own wife. Who else did he sin against? He also sinned against the nation. He was the head of the nation. He was the king of Israel. And in sinning in this fashion, he sinned against the entire nation that he was supposed to lead by God's blessing. And finally, ultimately, he sinned against God. You see, when he acknowledged that he sinned against God, he also acknowledged that he sinned against all these other people. He also recognized that his sin was all-encompassing. He came out from under the restraining order, and it brought sin into the entire nation because of what he did and he alone. He said, against you and you only have I sinned. He understood that beyond all human authority, there exists one who is the source of all authority, human authority, and that's God. He had to acknowledge that. So whenever you're put into a position of authority, understand your line of authority. Understand who is above you, who is your authority in the natural, who God has placed over you in the natural, whether it's in the church, whether it's at your job, whatever it is, whenever you come under authority, understand your line of authority, but understand this too, that that line of authority goes all the way up to God. It goes all the way up to God, even at a job. You go and do a job, who are you doing the job for? We're supposed to do it as unto the Lord, are we not? We're supposed to do it as unto him. I know when I was learning how to paint in Mesa, when I got that job and I was becoming a painter, a residential commercial painter, every single day that I went to work, driving to work, every single day I prayed. And I prayed that God would bless the work of my hands for my employer's sake. I didn't pray, God, give me a raise. I didn't pray, God, give me more money. I knew those things would come if I would be obedient to what God called me to do in the job that he gave me, because he gave me that job. In fact, when I was trying to get the job, I would go in to try to be interviewed for the position, for the job. And the person that I was told to talk to wasn't there. I went 3 or 4 times. He was the superintendent of the paint department that I was supposed to talk to. Of that one particular department of this construction company that was a multi-million dollar company. At that time, it was worth about $60 million. Building these retirement homes and retired communities. So I was supposed to talk to the superintendent. Finally, after I went the third time, I asked the secretary, I said, is there anybody here I can talk to? I said, I've come 3 or 4 times and he's not here. Can I talk to anybody? She said, well, just a minute. Let me go check. She went to a back room and she came back and she said, you can come and talk to this gentleman. So I went in and talked to this gentleman. He's sitting at his desk. He said, come on in. So I sat down and he said, what are you here for? I said, well, I'm here to apply for a job as a painter. I said, my father-in-law is working here, and he was told that there was an opening that I could come in and apply, but I can't talk to the person because he's not here. He said, well, he's been sick, and he hasn't been. He said, let me just interview you myself. I said, okay. So he interviewed me, and after that interview, he said, you know, I think you'll be a good fit for this company. He said, I'm going to give you a recommendation to him. I'm going to tell him that you'll be good to hire. I said, thank you. So I left, and I went and talked to my father-in-law, Sherman. He said, who interviewed? And I said, so-and-so. He said, who interviewed you? I said, so-and-so. I said, do you realize you were interviewed by the vice president of the entire company? I said, I didn't know that. God opened the door, and I got hired. And I started at the very bottom, but I understood my line of authority. I understood that God gave me that job, and so every day I would go to work, and I would pray that God would bless the work of my hands, that I would be a profitable employer for my company. I said, God, help me to help my company make money. That was my job. That was my prayer. You see, anytime you get hired by a company, you're hired to make them money. You're not hired to get a paycheck. The paycheck is the byproduct of you helping the company make money. But a lot of today, they don't understand that. Today, people understand, I got a job. Okay, give me my money. I remember hiring a guy one time. He didn't know a thing about painting. I was working at another construction company in the valley. I was a superintendent of their finishing department. We were working on multi-million-dollar homes, custom work, woodwork on multi-million-dollar homes, and I was in charge of all the custom staining and the finishing of the wood products. And a guy came and asked for a job. At that time, the minimum wage is $5. That tells you how long ago that was. Okay, $5 an hour. I said, I'll tell you what. I'll hire you 30 days, $5 an hour. You don't know anything about painting. You don't know anything about finishing. Let me teach you in 30 days what I can teach you about finishing the products that we are working on, because these are multi-million dollar homes and we got to do it right. Give me 30 days. You work out in 30 days, I'll give you a raise. I'll give you a raise. I won't keep you there, but give me 30 days. Okay. I hired him. 3-4 days later, he says, I need a raise. I said, I didn't hire you on those premises. I said, I told you, give me 30 days. I said, you don't know anything. Even right now, you don't know anything. I can't pay you more than what you're worth. Show me what you're worth, and I'll pay you more. I said, give me 30 days. He went back to work. The next week, on a Monday, he comes in. He says, I got to get more pay. I need more money. I said, you're not going to get it. Give me 30 days. He said, if you don't give me a raise, I'm quitting. I said, bye. I did. I said, I'm sorry. I can't give you any more. The agreement was give me 30 days. You see, we don't understand. People today who get jobs, they don't understand why they get hired. Because they don't understand authority. If you understand authority, you'll understand these things. And so with this job that I got painting, I understood that I spoke to the vice president of the company and he hired me, or he gave the recommendation. And who's not going to hire somebody if the vice president gives you a recommendation for somebody? You know, that was God. But I prayed that God would bless the work of my hands. He was the one that I wanted to please. And I knew, folks, I knew if I pleased God, I would please my employer. If I please God, I'll please the superintendent of the paint department. If I please God, I would please his assistant who I work with most of the time. If I please God, I would please the company. If I please God, I would get raises. If I please God, God would take care of me. But it goes back to understanding authority and your restraining principles. Because they told me when I had to be to work, and I was at work at that time. They told me when I had to work overtime, and I worked overtime. They told me when I had to come in on Saturdays, and I'd go in on Saturdays. They tell me when we'd have a job at a business that we had to work during the nighttime because the store was open during the day, and we'd have to work all night long to get work done, and that's where I was at. I would be there when I was needed, wherever I was needed. It restrained me in other aspects of my life. It restrained me sometimes from going out of town. It restrained me from even going out to dinner with my family if I was needed after work. It restrained me, but I understood by coming under the restraining principle of my employer, I was coming under the blessing of God. That's what we need to understand. There's a power in understanding restraining orders, okay? So David understood that God was the one that he offended. Romans 13, 1 and 2. You can go there. Romans 13, 1 and 2. This is what we touched on a little bit. Romans 13, 1 and 2. Let every soul be what? Be what? Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be what? Some of you don't like that word. You don't want to say it. Come on, what does it say? Let every soul be what? Subject. Subject. Let every soul come under the restraining order. to the governing authorities. For there is, look at this, for there is no authority except from God. When you see the police officer cruising around town, you don't have a right, you don't have a privilege, you don't have the right to call them any names, to say anything derogatory about them, to oppose them. You don't have any right to stand in any way against law officers. Why? Because it says here, there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist, which officers are authorities, judges are authorities, all these different things are authorities. They are appointed by God. How many of you recognize police officers as being appointed by God? How many of you recognize that our government is appointed by God? The government, the system, the government is appointed by God. It might have corrupt people in it, and it does. Governments always have corrupt people in it. Doesn't matter where you're at, because humanity is corrupt. But so long as they don't tell us to do something that goes out of bounds from the Word of God, we submit to them and we obey them and we pray for them. Because that's what he's saying here. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, look at this, verse 2. Therefore, who resists, let me put it this way. Therefore, whoever resists the restraining orders issued by God resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. What about that? There is no authority except from God, okay? And those that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. God is the one who issued the ordinance. And so we have to understand the authority and the principle of authority. Until we can acknowledge authority, folks, until we can understand and acknowledge the principle of authority, until we can understand restraining principles that come from the Word of God, we will be in rebellion against more than police officers or the law of the land. We'll be in rebellion against God. Every person who finds themselves rightly so, let me put it this way, every person who finds himself rightly so in a prison or a jail is there because they broke a restraining order. And punishment was imposed. Here's another thing. Authority is the basis for the right to exercise authority. Authority is the basis for the right to exercise authority and supernatural power specifically. The authority comes before the power. Okay? Jesus gave his disciples authority and power. He gave them authority to go in his name. How many of you know we possess the name of Jesus? How many of you know the name of Jesus needs to possess us? But if we belong to Jesus and we possess that name and the name possesses us, we have the authority of that name to go in that name, to minister in that name, to pray in that name, to pray for healing in that name, to pray for provision in that name. We have the authority to release things from heaven because it's the authority that we are under that releases it. It's understanding the authority and understanding the restraining principle that as long as we are under his authority, we are under that restraining order and principle from God, and he is free to move through us. How many of you want God to move through you? Do you want God to move through you? Do you want your prayers to be effectual? Do you want to be like Smith Wigglesworth? The man whom God would tell, go pray for this person. And when he got to that person, the person was dead. The person had died. And they said, you're too late. He said, no, all I know is God said, come and pray. So he would get the dead corpse and put it up against a wall and say, in Jesus' name, live. He did this with a body. He turned around, walked away. Boom, he heard a boom on the floor. The body fell. He picked the body up, put it up against the wall again. Said, in the name of Jesus, live. He turned around and boom, he heard another. He picked her up again. Put her up against the wall and said, in the name of Jesus, live. He turned around and there was no more thud. The lady came, that person came alive. Why? Because he was moving under his restraining principle. God said, do it. He had to do it. He couldn't do anything else except what God told him to do. That's a restraining order frees you. A restraining order releases you into what God has for you. It does not limit you. You can't say, oh, my life is going to be boring if I live under God's restraining order. I can't do this and I can't do that. No, God is saying, if you will live under my restraining order, this is what you can do. These are the things that can flow from your life. These are the things that you can operate in so long as you are under my restraining order. As long as Samson, we talked about him last week, as long as Samson was under God's restraining order and he did not drink wine and he did not eat grapes and he did not eat the seed or the skin of the grapes and he did not drink the juice, as long as he did not cut his hair, he remained under God's restraining order and he did great things. He was able to do because he was under authority and under the restraining order. Authority and the restraining principle are inseparable, okay? Adam, when you look back at Adam, he had to be under a restraining order in order to have dominion over all that God created. God wanted humanity. He wanted you and I to be over his creation. He specifically gave Adam dominion. Dominion is power and authority to rule. Dominion is power and authority to rule over. That's dominion. A king would have rule over his dominion. The dominion was his kingdom, and he had rule over his kingdom. That was his dominion. And so God, he intended for Adam and you and I through Adam to have authority, to have dominion over all this creation. That's pretty interesting, okay? Over all that God created. It was God's creation, so Adam had to be under a restraining order by the Creator in order to receive that delegated authority. If God was Creator, and he created this earth, and he created the animal life, and he created the vegetation, and then he told Adam to rule or have dominion over his creation, Adam had to be under a restraining order from the Creator so that he could walk in the authority that the Creator gave him to walk in. You cannot walk in authority unless you're under the restraining order of the one who gave you authority. You have to be willing to receive the restraining principle. Okay? So as long as he was under the restraining order, listen to this, the animals were subject to him. The animals were in submission to him, and through him they would have been in submission to all mankind. Think about it. God created all the animals. He brought them all to Adam. Adam named them, whatever he named them, that was their name. So he named the lion. He named the tiger. He named the bear, right? But he was not afraid of them, and they were in submission to him because Adam was under the restraining order of God. He had not sinned. He had not disobeyed. He had not eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He knew that as long as he stayed that way, he would have dominion, and therefore he could walk up to the lion, he could walk up to the tiger, he could walk up to the bear, to any other creature, and they would submit to him. That was God's authority. He was under the restraining principle, okay? So the lions, tigers, and the bears, they didn't look at him as an appetizing meal. Think about it. The lion didn't look at Adam and say, I think I want to eat you right now. Because Adam was under a restraining principle, it released authority to be over and to have dominion. You see, whenever everyone is driving in accordance with the laws, how many of you know everyone is safer on the roads? When everybody is operating under the restraining principle, everybody is safer. But if you're driving the speed limit, let's say you're on the freeway and it's 75 miles an hour. Let's say you're going 75 miles an hour and all of a sudden somebody just zips by you going 90, 95 miles an hour. How many of you know that person is putting others in danger because they are disobeying the restraining order? Whenever we disobey the restraining order, it not only affects us, it affects others around us, okay? When someone runs a red light, people are immediately in danger. When someone runs a red light, I can make it through. They are putting other people in danger. I was coming off of 14th Avenue onto Highway 70. I was at that stoplight. I was going to make a right-hand turn. I was going to go east. The light was turning. I saw the light turn green, and right before I went onto the road, I started to move, and then I looked this way one more time, and as I looked to the west, there was a young man in a pickup truck that was in the lane. He did not want to stop. The light had already turned red. My light was already green. I stopped, and he blew into the lane nearest me and just went right by me, and as he did, he's looking at me like this. If I had pulled out, he would have sideswiped me. He would have T-boned me because he was coming down hard. He was not going to stop at that stoplight. You see, whenever one person breaks a restraining order, it also endangers other people. When you get out from your restraining principles, when you get out from the restraining principles of the Word of God, you will put your family in danger, you'll put your spouse in danger, you will put your children in danger, you will put your grandchildren in danger, you will put others in danger because you are breaking God's restraining principles. It begins to impact other people's lives. The only way God could issue authority to man was to place him under that restraining order. Listen, folks. It reminds man, when we're under a restraining order, it reminds us who is really in charge. You know why employees get in trouble? Because they don't want to recognize who's in charge. Because they don't want to recognize their boss as a boss. They don't want to recognize the authority as an authority. They want to get away from authority. They want to hide. They want to sidestep authority all they can. One of the reasons, well, the reason I got hired back in, gosh, way back, 78, I think it was, before my wife and I were even married, before I even, met her, I got hired at Phelps Dodge. The reason I got hired at Phelps Dodge is because the young man I replaced, he was about my age, 18 years of age. The reason I replaced him is because he got fired. And the reason he got fired is because on graveyard shifts, he actually took a pillow and snuck it into his truck. And he had a blanket in his truck. And in the graveyard shift, he would go find a level. We were working in Metcalf at the time. And he would find a level where nobody was working. He would find a place. He would park and he would take his naps. He got out from a restraining principle, which means you put 8 hours work for 8 hours pay. That's a restraining principle. And they caught him holding onto his pillow, covered up with his blanket, asleep in his truck. When you break a restraining principle, what happens? You get caught, but you get punished, right? There are consequences to breaking restraining principles. So he got fired. I got hired. I thought it was really funny because about 3 months after I was working there, it was a graveyard shift, and I had gotten all my rainbirds done, and I had done all the work my assistant shift foreman wanted me to do, and I was coming off of one of the levels, one of the banks, and I stopped real quick, and I got my thermos, and I was going to get me some coffee or whatever I had in it that I was going to drink, and the shift foreman saw me. And I saw him pull off the main haul road. And I saw him drive over real slowly. And he pulls about 10 feet away, and I could see him looking at me. He wanted to know if I was going to be like the other guy. He wanted to know if I was awake. So I knew he was doing that, so I grabbed my coffee, and I just took a drink, and he saw me, and he took off. Folks, we need to understand authority, okay? If you don't acknowledge and respect authority on the job, you could place people in danger. You could cause the job itself to suffer harm or damage. Things can break down. Things could really be harmful to others. Or you could be fired for insubordination, rebellion to authority, whatever. But there are reasons, okay? Let me ask you, I asked you this last week, but what's the restraining order for this nation? What's the restraining order that is on this nation? The Constitution. The Constitution is the restraining order of this nation. When people don't like what's going on, when government officials, when senators and representatives, when they don't like something, they're going to try to get either find it in the Constitution or find a way to get it out of the Constitution. Because that's our restraining principle. That's our restraining, or that's what's made this nation great for over 200 years. God helped establish this nation. God helped us write that. God was blessing the men who was writing this, the founding fathers, the writers of the Declaration of Independence, and later on the Constitution, those who fought for our independence. He was blessing, and therefore God was fully and thoroughly involved in the establishment of this nation. And as long as we hold to that Constitution, God will continue to bless because he helped establish it. Okay? So let me ask you this. Why have we seen more and more conservatives, originalists, waving a copy of the Constitution in front of cameras? They hold it up. The last few years, I've seen more senators and representatives pull it out of their pocket and say, we've got this Constitution, we have this Constitution, and we have to abide by this Constitution. Because it's the restraining principle that we need to live by. It's also the restraining order or principle that people are trying to rid themselves of. And that's important that we understand, folks, because I say it this way, there is a growing push to make the Constitution a living document. A living document. An originalist is one who goes back to its original intent, how it was originally written, and said that's, and they say that's what it still means today. That's an originalist. Someone who wants to make it a living document says we have to adapt the Constitution to today's lifestyle, to today's environment, to today's society, to today's culture. So if the culture and society changes, then we must change the Constitution, or we must redefine it so it matches up to how we're living today. And so that's why you have people raising the Constitution and saying, we have a Constitution that we have to live by. They are originalists. They're saying we cannot deviate from how it is written. People want to modernize, if I can put it that way, they want to modernize the original document to fit man's desires rather, listen to me, folks, rather than man's desires fitting the Constitution. We can still develop jobs. We can start businesses. We can do all kinds of things. We have such liberty and freedom in this nation so long as we live and abide by the restraining principle that we have, which is the Constitution. And I guarantee you, folks, if we rid ourselves of that Constitution or we redefine it, we will see this nation go into chaos. We will see it go into chaos. You see, that's the exact same thing that the serpent did in the garden. Think about it, okay? He changed the garden's constitution. What was the constitution? Don't eat of the tree. That was the constitution. You're free to eat of everything I provided. Everything's blessed for you. The constitution says you have liberty and freedom to eat of every tree of the garden. It's all for you. The one restraint in this constitution is don't eat from that tree. And so what did the serpent want to do? He wanted to redefine the Constitution to fit man's desires. So he removed God's authority from over man by lying to man. Do you know that the only way you can get out from under a restraining order is a lie? Because the restraining order is based on truth, right? A restraining order is based on truth or a true principle. And in order for you to disobey or get out from underneath a principle, you have to receive a lie that another way is better. And so the serpent tried, he told Adam and Eve that another way was better. But here's the thing, God's authority was never removed. God's authority was never removed. God still had and he still exercised authority over Adam and Eve. But it was a serpent's way of getting humanity out from under God's restraining order or his restraining principle. You will not surely die. Because God knows when you eat of it, you're going to become like him. You're going to become like God yourself. Don't you want that? Don't you want to come out from under his restraining principle? Because he's really lying to you. He doesn't want you to be like him, because if you eat it, you'll be like him. So why don't you just go and eat it? Get out from under the restraining principle so you can be like him. And they received the lie. They came out from under the restraining order, and that's why we're here the way we are today. Can I tell you something? God is an originalist. Has any of this changed? This was written over a span of about 1,500 years by approximately 40 authors from all walks of life, to from kings to other walks of life. And it has not changed. God is an originalist. His word does not change. It never changes. What it is it is man who wants to make the word of God a living document subject to change. Man is trying to get this word to say it really doesn't mean that anymore. Or this word is archaic, it needs to be updated, and there are out today, I don't even want to call them Bibles, there are books, and I know Bible means book, but I don't want to call it a Bible. They have rewritten it, they have reorganized it to fit their modern theology. You need to stay away from those books. You need to stick to the true word of God. And so what happens today? Those who make the Bible a living document now say abortion is okay. They say that's okay. They say homosexuality is an acceptable alternative lifestyle. Because after all, God made us, and if we want to change, we can change. And if that's who we want to love, we can love. And so what do? They just make it a living document and say, this is really God of today. This is our modern God. They will accept gender fluidity and say it's natural for someone who is a woman who might want to be like a man, or a man might want to be like a woman. So it's okay to be gender fluid because God created man and woman anyway. So we make it a living document and we destroy God's original intent. Listen, folks, if you don't get anything, get this, okay? To change the word of God is to change the God of the word. You got to get that, folks. To change the word of God in one place, just one iota, to change the word of God is to change the God of the word. He is no longer the God of the word once you change one element of this word. We got to live under the restraining order, the restraining principle. Well, I'm going to quit here because I'm already over time. And I have a clock here now. We put these on here for the return 2020 so everybody could see that they're 5 minutes. You know how that went if you were there. They were not under the restraining principle. Yeah, that's what they were saying. I was like, why is that clock there? And I told them over and over, we're going to have clocks. Somewhere there's going to be a clock or a clock, so I want you to watch and keep under your 5 minutes. I even told them, I even texted them, and I said, listen, write out your prayer. Pray about it, but write it out. Know what God is going to give you. Know what God wants you to pray about, and write down your thoughts and keep it to the 5 minutes, and you know how that went. But anyway, I put these up here so they could check their time. So I thought, I better leave it. Folks, we got to get this. We got to understand this, because if we don't understand authority and if we don't understand God's restraining principles, we won't know how to pray those into effectual working for the things that we're praying about. Asking God to impose, define restraining orders in things and people and lives, in circumstances and situations. And we can do that if we understand authority and the restraining principle and how to stay under authority, how to stay under the restraining principle ourselves, so that we can ask God to release restraining orders into other things. I hope you're getting some of this, because it's really blessing me, and it's helping me to learn how to pray in a different dimension. And again, like I said at the first, this is just a way to define prayer. It's a way to define prayer in a term that we can understand, in a term that we can understand. Let's stand, and I will let you go. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word and how rich it is. And Father, help us to understand authority. Help us to understand that all authority comes from you. And that whatever authority we are under, ultimately we are still under your authority. that we cannot sidestep a human authority because you've brought authority into our realm for a purpose and a reason. And I pray, Father, that not only we understand authority, but we understand the restraining principle and how it's necessary for our own lives. And as long as we walk in alignment and in accordance with those restraining orders in our lives, according to your word, what your word tells us how to live by, then, Father, we are under your blessing. And, Father, we are under that privilege to be able to issue restraining orders or call upon you that you would issue the restraining orders into circumstances and situations that we might impact this life. I thank you for everyone here. I ask your blessings on them, Father. I pray that you minister to them this. I pray that it seeps down into our spirit, that, God, we can learn by this principle and we can honor you in it. We pray for our nation, Lord, as we continue in this time of upheaval, in this time of uncertainty. Father, we pray for this nation, and we're asking you, God, in Jesus' name, that you would have your way and you would have your will accomplished. We pray, Father, against all forms of insurrection. We pray against all forms of anarchy. We pray against all forms, God, of evil that would want to be released into this nation, that are just waiting on the sidelines for an opportunity to break loose. We ask you, God, to hold them back. We ask you, God, that they would not. We're asking you, Father, for mercy on this nation. We pray, Father, for those that are waiting on the sidelines, for those who are waiting for the outcome. And we ask you, Father, that your will be done. So, Lord, we praise you tonight. We thank you for this nation. We thank you for how you bless this nation. And, Father, we're praying that in your mercy you would cause it to continue. And, Father, we praise you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. The Lord bless you. Have a good night in Jesus' name.